following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody, and welcome to turn 53 of Worthy Opponent, a Hearthstone podcast, the oh-so-casual type. So I am Black Lace, and I'm nattering on as I normally do, and with me in the studio is Autumn's Bane and Micmac. Autumn's Bane.
He's been exiled from his home, and all his brothers turned evil, but otherwise, he doesn't have a lot to complain about.
That has to be the one, the only, the Prophet Velen.
Yes, he is. 777.
What about you are not prepared? He was a brother who turned evil.
So he, yeah, but Velen had lots of brothers that turned evil.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, Prophet Velen is a legendary card. 777. 7 casting cost, 7 health, 7 attack. Double the power and healing of your spells and hero power. It is the only card other than the Elite Tauren Chieftain that I've ever gotten as legendary in gold, and also the only legendary I've ever disenchanted.
You disenchanted Prophet Velen? Whoa.
I did. I was
so
desperate.
Technically he died.
I was desperate to get other legendaries, because if you dust a golden legendary, you get enough dust to make any other non-golden legendary.
That's true, but golden cards have so much swag. I really
But I wasn't think I using could do that. You know how I feel about the priest to begin with, and the game and the decks that I made with him in it never won. I had one really awesome play where the doubling of it really helped me, but other than that, he wasn't helping me. And with all the hundreds of priests that I've played, those that I did not concede to, I've seen one play a Prophet Velen against me. One.
Well, you know, your luck just changed forever once you disenchanted him, because he was gold 777. The luckiest card there is.
Wasn't too lucky for me.
I haven't played him, and I still can't get over just dusting a gold. I just can't. Especially when I'm trying to collect everything.
Well, I think I got my Sylvanas because of him.
You can get your Sylvanas by just being patient and dusting crap cards.
Well, this was early on.
This is true.
So Sylvanas was raised from the dead. In this case, the
quite
dead
literally.
Prophet Velen.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Sylvanas is a much better card than Prophet Velen, so.
Yeah.
Well done.
We'll give you that one. All right. So we are going to mention very quickly, because last week was the Hearthstone World Championship at BlizzCon. I'm going to mention that anybody who wants to try out now the champion decks, they are now available on Liquid Hearth, liquidhearth.com, actually. And if anybody wants to see the Hearthstone tournaments themselves, Hearthstone has a YouTube channel of its very own, and all of the tournament games are on the Hearthstone YouTube channel. So you can try out the decks, or you can just sit there and watch their games, because they're pretty interesting. That being said, we're gonna kind of shake things up again. We usually talk about emails at the end of the night, but Micmac, we missed your deck last week.
Everybody missed it. So
why don't you whip it out and talk to us about it?
I got it right here. It's actually Jeff's deck. So
we gotta get that line from from Blazing Saddles. Pardon me while I whip this out.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Awesome movie. So, Jeff's deck, and I'll read the email that he sent us.
Not Jeff Beck.
Jeff's deck.
Gotcha.
Somewhat standard zoo with a few variants of Void Terror, Faceless Manipulator, Lothep, and Sylvanas. So his deck includes 2 Soulfires, 2 Power Overwhelming, 2 Flame Imps, 1 Worgen Infiltrator, 1 Abusive Sergeant, 1 Voidwalker, 2 Nerubian Eggs, 2 Ironbeak Owls, 2 Haunted Creepers, 2 Knife Jugglers, 2 Direwolf Alphas, 2 Void Terrors, 1 Shattered Sun Cleric, 2 Defenders of Argus, 2 Dark Iron Dwarves, 1 Faceless Manipulator, 1 Doomguard, 1 Lotheb, and of course 1 Sylvanas Windrunner. So Jeff goes on to further say, I don't have all the next quarter, so I would certainly consider swapping 1 or 2 of the 1 drops with Zombie Chow, and potentially swapping the Shattered Sun Cleric and a Dark Iron Dwarf with a Void Collar or 2. The most ideal setup is to have either the Egg or the Creepers out on turn 2 and end up with a 2-1, which is equivalent to a Yeti, or a 4-4 and a 3-5. Pretty exciting starts. I substituted the second Doomguard. Most zoos run with the Faceless Orb for versatility, and I use Sylvanas and Power Overwhelming as a 2-card 7-mana mind control. Okay, so I play a zoo deck quite often on ladder. It's probably my second best deck that I play, and I went 3-2, and the Void Terror was a complete powerhouse. I believe you won me 2 of the games. The first game I lost versus the Shaman. He used a Hex on my 8-9 Void Terror. He had Lightning Bolt, Rock Rider Weapons, and he had control of the entire board. Sylvanas was used with Power Overwhelming, which was pretty cool, because Power Overwhelming kills a minion, so when Sylvanas dies, her death rattle is to take a random enemy minion. But I took the worst possible one, so, you know, there you go. And
so game, you won 2 out of 3.
I won 3 out of 2, but that was just the first game that I played, and I'm a pretty emotional...
3 out of 2? Math is boggling my mind.
Well, I do best of 5, and I won 3 and I won
3 and 2.
Oh my
three
god.
3 and 2.
He said 3 out of 2, and I'm like, huh? That hurt my brain.
When I get rolling, I just don't stop sometimes, so... I'm like a boulder going downhill. But anyhow, game 2 is versus a Handlock Warlock, which is a Warlock that just keeps trying to cycle their deck and play Molten Giants, Mountain Giants, Twilight Drakes, and they don't really care about their health initially. But I beat that Warlock on turn 4, so I was pretty happy. And I'm a pretty emotional Hearthstone player, so like when I lose a game, like it absolutely affects me. And when I win a game, it also affects me just in the reverse. So I feel like I could just keep steamrolling. But game 3, 4, and 5, I won game 3 versus a Druid. I lost game 4 versus the Rogue, and game 5. Now, Autumn's Bane, I know you have told me to just keep on trying to get a new hero to play up against. And I conceded 4 times because I kept getting Druids and Shamans and Warlocks. But time is money, and after 4 concedes, I got another Warlock. I'm like, okay, it was a Handlock. Same deal. I won on turn 4 again. So it's a pretty fun deck.
Won on turn 4.
Druids, Shamans, and Warlocks. Add to that mix Hunters and Warriors, and that's all I see. I see an occasional priest and an occasional paladin these days, but that it's really top-heavy with the classes we're seeing lately. Mm-hmm. Although, actually, and you know, I'm not seeing as many druids as you might be, but I'm seeing a lot of shaman and a lot of hunters.
I'm actually
and
playing
warlocks
the
galore.
Priests.
You're really? Playing the priest?
I'm playing against the priests, and I did my you know, Shit Sandwich was the name of my deck, with the priest deck. I've been playing with that. I'm losing my priest hate because they're not playing the same way they used to.
Oh, some of them are.
Yeah, I haven't run into as many of them, though, so I'm a little bit more priest lenient. Probably has something to do with Warlords of Draenor coming out, and my priest is, like, shining through there.
In 2 weeks, I've seen 3 priests, and ironically, they were 3 in a row, and one of them played that steal everything. It really is terrible to have a priest using an an eagle horn bow on you. It's just very unsettling.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Well, those aren't the ones that used to bother me. The ones that used to bother me was when they cast the light well and it was suddenly a 75-75 creature that just jumped across the board and trounced my face. Those are the ones that got me.
That hurts.
Let's make it double our, you know, let's add this to its health, and then add this to its health, and then add this to its health, and double its health, and then make its power equal to its health. Okay, now I'll attack you. Those are the ones that got me every time. Just got on my bad side. And I'm not seeing those that much anymore.
The two types of priests that I've seen are a control priest, which is they, you know, kind of play to fatigue of just, you know, any time that you play a minion or something, they have an answer for it or they steal it. And then, of course, we have like an aggro priest with undertakers and stuff and lots of death rattle.
Mac, after the show, I challenge you to play my shit sandwich.
I'll have a bite of that and then maybe a slice of pizza afterwards.
There we go. So, let's see.
Every Monday night, I leave this podcast hungry for pizza now, thanks to you, McMac. Enough with the pizza.
No, it's not McMac's fault. He didn't name it pizza.
All right, it's Frid's fault.
It's Frid's fault.
But McMac's perpetuating the problem.
That's true enough. So, McMac, did you have more to say about the deck, or did I totally derail you?
No, that's pretty much it. I was pretty surprised that both Warlocks I played I beat on turn four. It was really how overwhelming that sealed the deal. And next week, we're going to test out Forest's deck.
What's Forest? Gump? No. Is Forest a hunter?
Forest is a mage.
Oh, I am looking forward to hearing that one then. All right, moving on. Hearthstone.
Was it Forest? Oh, Forest. With two R's.
Could be Forest if he's tired. So anyway, we're going to talk about something else now. Actions against Hearthstone botting. We mentioned briefly a couple weeks ago, somebody, either one of you gentlemen, said something about bots. And I was like, what? Bots? I don't know about bots in Hearthstone. And I was blown away because didn't conceive that people would actually play, you know, Hearthstone bots when it's a card game that you're supposed to be playing to have fun with, not cheat and whatever. But I was surprised by you guys telling me that they did exist, and Blizzard, knowing that they existed, took a very, very heavy-handed stand on them. Continued actions against botting in Hearthstone. And they say, in our continued efforts to promote a fair play environment within Hearthstone, we have permanently banned several thousand Hearthstone accounts found to be using third-party programs that automate gameplay, which is a violation of our terms of use. We will continue to closely monitor Hearthstone and take action as needed to protect the game environment. Hearthstone accounts found to be cheating in any form will be permanently closed without warning. If you believe you've encountered a possible bot or other form of exploitation, please let us know by emailing our hacks team at hacks@blizzard.com. And
is that
what
hacks with
CKS? HACKS, yes. Mm-hmm. Hacks, HACKS@blizzard.com. So, yeah, that was by Zariah on the 12th, today being the 17th. So that was last week. But they have actively been just shutting people down. And what got me is, you can find these, by the way, at Hearthstone Continued Actions. It's got its own little area on the forums. They had 140 comments, and some of them blew me away. Some of the people were like, I use bots only this amount of time for this many days, and now I'm permanently canceled. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And they're they're like apologizing. I'll never do it again. Please, you know, reopen my account. I'm like, you were botting. What? You're supposed to play the game. I do not understand this. Please explain.
Well, some people do it because they want to get gold or they want to farm a golden hero. So they'll leave their bot algorithm on while they go to work or while they go to some sort of function or family party or what have you when they're not home, and the game is just racking in money.
Yep. And in the subreddit, the Reddit thread for Hearthstone, 10% of users of the sub, not 10% of Hearthstone players, but 10% of the Reddit users that took a recent straw poll claimed to have used a bot at some point. 10%, that's a lot. And one bot user that was interviewed by PC Gamer claims that his bot won him 2,000 games in a single month. Now these guys, some of them are saying they're making 130 to 160 gold a day just from the win 3 games to get 10 gold. That's a lot of games. A normal player probably does not have the time to put in to do that. It's kind of sick.
It is. Yeah.
And all the bots that I've seen and that I've heard about, they're all shaman. And I would suspect that you guys have played against them. And there are some telltale signs to know when you're playing a bot. And the first thing is that they have the same amount of time per play. So they'll wait 2-3 seconds or whatever it was, play a card. 2-3 seconds in their turn. Or 2-3 seconds later, play another card. And they do some really weird, funky stuff. Yeah, it's just bizarre, but I'm not a fan of botting at all. Not at all.
No, I'm looking at a portion of a thread from Hearthcrawler, and it's showing, you know, a timeline. It's like pushing Steady Shot, pushing Senjin Shieldmaster to field, pushing Bloodfen Raptor to field, pushing Tundra Rhino to field. And it's just this whole script going on. But recently we had David, one of our listeners, had tweeted us and had commented about the botting. He says, "Hi all, in reply to the tweet I send you, this was the message. I just lost it. I think it just disappeared.
Your email?
That's funny. I think the email just disappeared and I don't know where it went to.
The twisting nether.
It did. Fortunately, I have an article up that has pretty much the same thing I was going to read from that email. So this Hearthcrawler site actually had a program, and they're not the only one, but they're the ones most common. And they've been shut down after this big crackdown on the botters. And again, there are others going as well. By the way, don't go... Just everybody, please be careful. Because as soon as I heard about this bot crawler thing, I went I went looking on the internet, and the first link I came to, my Avast shut it right down as being a harmful site. But they put out their a little notice, that's saying in their last official announcement, "Thank you for being part of our community. We are very sad about this, but you also know botting is against the rules. And we knew that the day when our products wouldn't work anymore would come. With tears in our eyes, we have said goodbye." They apparently actually spoke with Blizzard about it. So I'm guessing Blizzard either threatened them with a lawsuit or paid them off or something. But it's really malicious intent. I could see, you know, in the old days, early WoW, people were buying gold. They didn't know the ramifications. They just figured, oh, other games allow you to buy gold. But that's coming from a point of ignorance, buying gold when you're new to a game that's pretty new and you're thinking you're just getting a little help because you don't have much chance to get gold. And then you look at the deeper ramifications. In Warcraft, a lot of that gold was coming from players getting their accounts hacked and then all their stuff sold off. And that costs money, as Blizzard employees have to go and track it down and restore the items. And that's all, it's not done automated. It might be automated now, but back then it wasn't. It was hand work done by real employees. Well, in the case of Hearthstone, it's damaging in that other people are working for that money. So it's costing Blizzard money. Whereas a player might say, you know what, I've played this many games and I didn't get any cards, let me buy some cards. Well, these people using the bots, they're never going to spend a penny because they're getting it all for free.
Right.
Right.
So it's harmful. Yeah. Botting is bad, okay? Don't do it.
One of the comments was really kind of cute. Somebody just said, Alarmobot activated! Exclamation point. I thought that was really cute because he's saying, obviously, that you are noticing that there are bots.
So, oh, by the way, I just want to add a little disclaimer. I was looking up the crawler bots as research for this discussion, not because I wanted to use them. I just want to make that clear.
Repeat, he was not going to bot, folks. I will say that to make that kind of an algorithm requires a lot of time and a lot of math and a lot of preparation. If I had that time and I had the knowledge to make an algorithm like that, I'd probably make one for the stock market instead.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's still risky. Because the one script that they show here show that the game actually lost. So they don't win 100% of the time.
Nope.
So but I wonder, remember I had said, sorry, Blacklace, to cut you off. Remember I've been saying I've been seeing a lot of standard card backs lately? Maybe that's because they're all bots.
Oh, maybe.
From what I know, it's just shaman. So if you're playing a shaman with like a normal card back and you keep saying hello to them and they're not responding, probably
bot. Oh, this
bot.
Was a hunter, though. The stuff I just read to you was from a hunter.
Oh, it's from a... Oh.
Shamans don't have steady shot.
Huh. I guess not.
Or tundra rhinos, usually.
The majority of bots, in fact, every bot that I've been able to tell was a bot, they were shaman. I've probably played against a dozen bots or so, like, that I could confirm were bots.
Yeah. How do you confirm it's a bot? I'm curious.
Just by the amount of time it takes for them to play each card, they don't respond to you. There's not like 100% way to tell for sure, but I just know that it's a bot. I can tell it's a bot. It's the same deck with like a sea giant in it, and he just makes a bunch of totems. There's Alakir, the Windlord, possibly, and they just do a lot of funky stuff that just does not make sense, and they just win. It's an effective deck. I mean, when I have gone up against it, I've been using my warrior deck, and yeah, it just makes quick work of it, and it's sort of infuriating when you lose to someone that's not even there.
Well, even if it only had a 40% win rate and it played 200 games a day, that's still 80 games, right?
Yep. Crazy. Yep. So that's some money, and that's working your way towards Golden Hero Portrait.
Blacklace?
Yeah. Well, I have no idea what I was going to say before, so never mind. I have actually solved the dilemma of what card back to use, so I told Autumnsbane earlier that I now know what to do. And that is, I am becoming a copycat. So if I go up against somebody who is playing with a pirate back, I change mine to a pirate back. If they're playing the basic back, I change mine to the basic back. The only ones I can't do are the Naxxramas heroic, because I don't have it, and the legendaries, because I don't have it. But everything else, I copy. And then yeah. I can play all the card backs.
I wonder if the that League card back has been made available yet.
I haven't ever come across anybody that I've seen that with.
What about you, McMack? You get further up on the ladder. Have you seen it show up yet?
The League card back? Which one is that again?
Yeah, there's like this International Gaming Society or whatever it was. They have their own card back.
Is it the TESPA one?
Like, yes.
The college student one?
Yes, the Tesla one. I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't played up.
Maybe it's not out
yet. I've seen it like, you know, on a website, but I've never played someone with it.
Interesting. But so that's my thing to do now, is I just become a doppelganger, I guess.
It's not a bad life.
No, I guess not. All right, so other things to talk about this week is we discussed last week that yay, in December we should be getting a whole bunch of presents from Blizzard, being maybe my Android might actually be able to play the game, but also, obviously, is the Goblins versus Gnomes is going to be released. All cards will become available immediately upon release. They'll be available through the shop, through the arena, as well as through crafting. They'll be sold with their own card packs, and there's actually a photograph on one of the websites that has this beautiful little card pack that has a fuse attached to it, which leads me to believe that when you open it, it goes kaboom. So I'm looking forward to the graphics of opening my first card pack almost as much as I am looking forward to getting my first card pack. They will be in their own card pack separate from Classic, so that you're not going to find any of the Goblin versus Gnome in your Classic card packs should you decide to buy those. They will have the same cost, both in gold and in real money. And again, they can be crafted or disenchanted using arcane dusts exactly like the Classics. Once the expansion launches, all the card pack rewards from Arena will be set for the new expansion, which means basically players will no longer be able to obtain Classic cards from the Arena. They're going to be getting all of them available to them. New cards will also be available, from the Arena picks. And just to let people know, about a third of the cards will be mechs. We discussed the mechs last week. And Spectator Mode will be released when Goblins versus Gnomes are released. So we'll be able to do Spectator almost immediately, which I really can't wait to have happen, because I am serious. I'm going to drag Micmac into TeamSpeak and say, okay, watch this and tell me what the heck I'm doing wrong. It's I'm going to use it as a mentor. That's it.
She's going to drive you by the heels.
Yes.
So I just wanted to add that if you go to your Battle.net launcher, and there are news articles that flash through for all the different Blizzard games, when you're on the Hearthstone one, it'll tell you to vote, and it'll show two cards. That wasn't just a one-time thing. It seems like they're doing it practically every day, and different cards show up, and you get to vote. The trick is that when you vote, your vote doesn't count unless you tweet it. It actually says...
Or Facebook it.
It says requires
Twitter.
Right at the bottom.
That's true.
So anybody who follows us on Twitter will see that a few votes have gone out. Those have always been my votes. I do not presume to speak for Blacklace and Micmac, but apparently that's the only way you could vote is to tweet it. So there's some self-promotion going on there. But those cards, as we vote on them, become available like the next day, the winner of the vote, that card shows up. So right. We've got a lot of cards that have been revealed already.
And they're revealing them every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is what's happening.
Oh, so it's not the next day. Okay.
Nope. Well, they, looking at the 17th and goes to the 28th. I'm wondering if they're taking a break for the holiday. Nope. There it is. The 19th, the 21st, the 24th. So it's every couple days. So it's exciting.
They just show you the picture of the card. They don't show you what the text is. So you're judging a book by its cover.
And then you find out what the cover is when you vote and win. You get to see what's inside.
Right.
So two of the cards, I noticed that one of the ones that they released was the Shield Maiden. And I noticed that it had gain 5 armor. Now, I didn't look at it very carefully, but I'm like, gain 5 armor. Obviously, it's a warrior card. Gain 5 armor. Okay, I've seen that before. So I, did my little research and I pulled up my shield block. And for three mana, shield block is gain 5 armor and draw a card. Okay, what's the difference between shield block and shield maiden? Big difference. For 6 mana, you gain 5 armor. But the card itself is a 5/5 creature. So it's not a card that just goes away.
That's her battle cry.
A 5/5. Yes, it's her battle cry. So it's a 5/5 creature with a battle cry of gain 5 armor for 6 mana. That's a pretty nice little card. And she's cute.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm not in love with it, though.
It's kind of high casting cost.
Right, that's the thing. And in like a warrior control deck, there's already so many other high costing minions that what would you take out to put this card in its place? But I think, once more warrior cards come out, there could be some sort of, armor synergies going on.
Okay, now, gentlemen, do you have this card up on your screen? Can you see the Shield Maiden card?
I do.
I want you to think of this when you're looking at her face. Think of the TV show Vikings. Think about his wife. Make her face with blonde hair.
Yep, pushing it.
That's
now.
Her. Lose three feet of height.
Well,
and 20 pounds.
But the face is hers. I'm telling you, that's her face.
I agree.
And she's a Shield Maiden. So I think they did. I really do. I think that's a little tribute to Vikings. Cause
see, now you made
is...
me think of that actress who I saw in a recent movie with Al Pacino, and she was a hooker, and she was even more hot than she is in Vikings.
Oh, geez. So... So, yes, we are really deviating from the deck here. Okay, so that was my little thing with the Shield Lock and the Shield Maiden. But one of the things we wanted to do is start discussing the cards themselves.
We can do that.
We can do that.
Yes,
but,
we can.
Black Lace has lost the sight, so why don't one of you guys take the first one? And we're just going to go through the neutral cards today.
Yeah, there are a lot of them. We don't dare try to cover all the cards in one show. But we're going to go over a few cards each week until they're released. And if we haven't done it all by then I guess after they're released. But let's start with one of the very first ones they mentioned at BlizzCon. And it's the Annoyotron, which looks like a freaking Muppet on the picture.
It looks so annoying.
Yeah, it does look good. There's confetti and bright colors and annoying horns and bells and stuff. So, two casting costs, a 1/2 mech, taunt, and divine shield. So, what do you think, Mick?
Well, first of all, the artwork looks like they took a photograph of my neighbor and just did a little sketch.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But
you have a neighbor that looks like that?
Yeah, I do, actually. I call him Carrot Top.
Oh, boy.
Hope they don't listen.
Oh, boy. And but... it's a mech card.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I think that it will have some sort of mech synergy because everyone's going to make a mech deck once, you know, Goblins versus Gnomes goes live.
Are you
going
to change your name to Mic-Mech?
Mic-Mech. Maybe if I hit Legend, I will.
There you go.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Black Lace just said 1/3, roughly, of the cards are going to be mechs. That's a lot. What'd they say, like 120 cards?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So 40 mechs? That's a lot of mechs. There's not that many beasts and pirates and murlocs put together, I don't think.
And Death Rattle, I don't think there's that many Death Rattle cards either. Not nearly as many.
And we have seen a hell of a lot more Death Rattle since Nax than we ever did before, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And... yeah, a lot of more Death Rattle. Yeah, I am enjoying that a lot. I don't want to say more than that because I'm going to be challenging Mic-Mech after the show, and he'll kind of see.
Well, anyway, a 1/2 that you could get out on the second turn. It's got taunt, so it's going to protect you for the first at least one turn, but it could protect you against two minions, really, if you've got minions that could take him out, because... you know, first the Divine Shield goes away before they actually get slammed. So Divine Shield and Taunt certainly are nice together, and I can see maybe situations where you beef them up. I'm afraid of Priests getting these cards, making them indestructible.
You know what this card would be good with? Is Blood Knight. And the Blood Knight is a 3/3, and when he comes down, his battle cry is to all minions lose Divine Shield, and he gains +3/+3. So
yeah,
if you play an Aeotron...
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So
you know,
already we see some synergy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The next
card... but you
card...
wouldn't play it.
Oh. No, I would not
I
play
think...
this at all.
I would play it one time just to see whatever the graphic is when you call it out. I just...
Do you
have
think
a
there'll
funny...
be an animation for it?
I think so. I'm looking at the confetti he's got, and this is an annoying card. There's got to be an annoying animation.
So there'd be like a wonka 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 horn sound.
Yeah, horn sound.
Ding, ding, ding. Because he's got a bell in one hand and a horn in the other.
I am telling you there's going to be some kind of animation for this card. I would be very surprised if they didn't have something for it.
Well, if it makes the cards more fun to play, then I'm all for them.
And it's all about the fun, at least where we're concerned. The next card that they let us know about is a one casting cost, Clockwork Gnome. Death Rattle, put a spare part in your hand. What do you guys think? It's a 2/1 creature.
Yeah, he basically is going to compete with the Leper Gnome there, for mech decks anyway.
Yes, yeah, yep, in that respect he would. He's pretty weak with just one health, but the spare parts could come in handy.
Yep, I'm going to go through the spare parts real quick. But this one little card, yeah?
Isn't he just like a leper gnome? One casting cost, 2/1?
He is. Leper gnome's death rattle is pretty powerful, though, for the cost.
Two points of damage to your... But at the same time...
The spare part could be quite useful, and Blacklace, you want to go through the spare parts?
Yep. They're all one mana. You do have to cast them. They don't just happen when he dies. They just
like
end up in your hand.
King Mupla. Right.
But except they come to your hand, not your opponent's hand. So you've got one casting cost, armor plating, which gives a minion +1 health. Or you get emergency coolant, which is freeze a minion. You get finicky cloak field, which is give a friendly minion stealth until your next turn. Reversing switch, which is swap a minion's attack and health. So that you can use it on your own or you can use it on an opponent. Keep that in mind. You only really use it on an opponent. Give a minion taunt is the rusty horn. I can imagine an animation with that one too. time rewinder, return a friendly minion to your hand. Whirling blades is the last one, is give a minion +1 attack. So there are a possibility of 7 cards that we know of. They're uncollectible. They just are the, whatever happens when he dies, that's his death rattle.
Now here's an interesting thing to note, at least from my perspective, is these are usually created by mechs, but they don't have to be used on mechs.
Now also,
right,
think about that card that doubles a minion's death rattle. So you get 2 of those cards in your hand.
That would be Kel'Thuzad.
Mm-hmm. You get 2 of his card.
Baron Rivendare.
Right.
You know, those Nax guys.
The Nax guys. The Naxi guys. Sorry. Yeah, so you would actually get 2 spare parts in your hand if you had him in play.
Spare part is your favorite so far? Just briefly looking at these.
A lot of them will replace minions that are already in the game, like the Alchemist.
I think I like the Rusty Horn. Taunt is important to me. I like putting out the taunts so that they don't always go for my face.
Yeah,
so
you can
like
throw that
one
on a Nerubian egg or throw it on your Ragnaros.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that might be my favorite.
Yeah, I like the Rusty Horn also. I think it's a very interesting name. It sounds kind of naughty.
And I don't play Mage Freeze decks, but I could see Mage Freeze decks. That's just one more thing that can give them a freeze spell.
But you got to realize that it's a 1 in 7 chance that that's the card they're going to get, though.
The stealth thing can have a potentially good use. I mean, give a minion stealth until your next turn. So what does until your next turn mean?
It means it saves it. And it means basically if you've got a creature that you really, really like and it's got 1 hit point left because it's been blasted to almost oblivion, you can throw a stealth on it. They can't do anything to it unless they do an AoE. They can't do any kind of direct hit to it.
So here's
and then
the
your
scenario.
Next turn, it comes off and you get to go wa-bang.
Micmac will appreciate this. I call out Garrosh and I get him enraged and I charge over for 10 points of damage. And then I pop this on him so that he can't be targeted. And then next turn, I'll zip across for 10 more. Does that work
but
for you, Micmac?
I'm game. Absolutely.
But again, it's luck. It's which one you get when he dies.
Right. None of them really are terrible, but
no.
Yeah, it's kind of like playing the animal companion, and you play it as soon as you get 3 mana, hoping you'll get a 4/4 taunt, or at least a 4/2 charge. And what do you get? The 2/4 that gives everybody +1 attack, but there's nobody else on the board, so it's like ugh. So the same thing will happen with the spare parts. You'll never get the one you want when you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, Autismate, do you want to talk about the Cogmaster?
The Cogmaster?
The Cogmaster.
That sounds obscene. Well, I like the artwork, the drooling gnome there. 1 casting cost, 1/2. Now 1/2, not 2/1, like the clockwork gnome. Has +2 attack while you have a mech. So let's say you call out that clockwork gnome on turn 1, and then maybe you get a coin. And so you put the Cogmaster out right after it, and on the first turn, you've got a 3-2. It's risky. It's kind of like the Undertaker, where he gets stronger with the Death Rattle minions, except it's just a one-time bonus. He just gets the +2. So I don't think it's bad for one casting cost, but it's premature for me to say whether or not I would use it.
Yeah, I think we need to see more of the mech cards as they come out.
I've got a real synergy for that card, but I will go over that synergy when it's my turn again.
It's your turn.
No, my turn is not next. It is, you just talked about the Cogmaster. It's the explosive cheap turn of Micmac.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about Cogmaster.
No. I'm going to come back to him. As you were mentioning wanting to see synergy, I got your synergy.
Oh, so you want to talk about the synergy with another card down the road?
Indeed I do.
Indubitably.
So, Mick, what do you think on the Cogmaster?
I think that it's kind of cool. You know, again, people are going to make mech decks, so I could see him having some sort of use, but, you know, like you said, it's just a one-time bonus. Assuming you have a mech on the table, he's now a 3-2, but if that mech goes, he's a 1-2, and he's pretty weak, so...
And of the mechs that they've shown us so far, the Clockwork Gnome and the Cogmaster that are the only ones that only cost one mana.
And I don't see any charging mechs yet, either.
And, I think something to know is that the Cogmaster is not a mech, even though he gets bonus from other mechs.
Right.
Correct.
I meant, when I said mech, let me rephrase what I meant to say. I meant to say neutral cards, because that's what we're going over now, neutral cards.
Correct.
So the Clockwork Gnome and the Cogmaster are the only neutral cards so far that we've seen that only cost one.
Right. So I guess we'll move on to the Explosive Sheep then.
Gotta have me an Explosive Sheep.
2-mana, 1/1, Death Rattle, deal 2 damage to all minions. What do you guys think?
Not when some of your mechs are one point. It's like, let's
Boy,
just
you,
kill.
You thought the Leper Gnome was bad.
I think this could be painful. It's not just like your little knife thrower that zips around and kills your opponent's creatures. It's all minions, including your own.
That's a warrior card.
You would not want this in a paladin deck that has that little card that changes everybody's health to one. That would be detrimental to that
equality,
kind of.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but all those trolls that get tougher when they get damaged.
I see what you mean.
In
damaging
enraged
your
deck.
Own minions.
Yep, an enraged deck. Absolutely.
Agreed, yeah. That
and
would
you
be
can actually,
pretty cool
yep, and you can actually kill it off popping it with one of your creatures. You can hit it with your own creature to kill it to make it deal a damage to everything else. Yeah. Yeah,
well,
I could.
Ben Brode said last week how often Baron Geddon wins games in a very small niche of card deck types. This kind of does the same type of thing. So this would be like, you get this out for the same mechanics to take place before you have enough mana to get Baron Geddon out.
I wonder if that's the same artist as did the Annoyer-chan, though.
This Explosive Sheep would also be interesting in, like, a mage deck. So, you know, mages have 2 Flame Strikes, and let's say that they have 2 Blizzards as well. If you have the Explosive Sheep out, right, then you can Hero Power the Sheep, so ping it off. It dies 2 damage to all minions, right? All enemy all minions. Then you can Blizzard, so that's 10 mana right there. It's a 10 mana Flame Strike, but... it's another way to clear the board.
And
it
it's
is.
2 damage to all minions.
So make sure your mirror image is not in play when you put it in a mage deck.
Yeah, that's a fast clear with that card.
Oh, anti-Murloc deck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Next one is the Mech Warper. It's a 2 mana cost, 2/3 creature. It's a mech. Your mechs cost 1 less. Okay, here's my synergy. I cast on my first turn my Cogmaster, which is basically a 1/2 creature that has a +2 attack when you have a mech. Now I cast my Mech Warper, which means my mechs cost 1 less. So now my Cogmasters become a 3/2. But
and then a free
because
clockwork
my mechs,
gnome.
Yep, because my mechs now cost 1 less, my Clockwork Gnome could be free. And yeah,
And you've just made your Cogmaster on turn 2 a 3-2.
No, a 5-2.
No, it's not cumulative. It's not plus 2 for each mech.
Damn.
I know.
You're right.
That's like the Undertaker.
Yeah, you're right. We'll have to see how that plays, but you're right. If they're going to be literal about the verbiage, then...
It would be too broken.
That's priest-like, though. See, now I'm thinking like a priest player. Oh, God, what happened to me? So what do you guys think of the Mech Warper?
I think, just like you said, this is going to be a card in every mech deck. First of all, the stats, 2 for 2/3, that's solid. That's like a River
Crocolis.
That's
solid right there.
Yep.
Yeah, and the River Crocolis doesn't even have an ability.
Yeah, no? And it makes the Explosive Sheep a mech, which is a 1 casting cost. It would make the Micro Machine a 1 casting cost. Then you've got your Clockwork Gnome would be coming out for free. So, yeah, I mean, that Mech Warper is going to... You can get a lot of quick little minions onto the field with that card.
Yeah, so it's going to be in a lot of mech decks, so we'll see a lot of those Mech Warpers.
Yeah, I'm liking this. I'm looking forward to the expansion. The next card on his main?
Oh, you mean the Micro Machine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks kind of like Bad Robot, doesn't he?
He does.
So, 2 casting cost, 1/2 mech. At the start of each turn, gain +1 attack. Well, Hero was saying Cogmaster's not cumulative because it might be broken. This guy's going to get an extra +1 attack regardless of what you do each turn. You know what that means? He's got a big bullseye right on his face. He's going to be like the first card
means,
everyone puts out.
Yeah, it also means don't cast your Explosive Sheep. Gotta remember that Explosive Sheep can take your minions out too.
Yeah, when Frid was on, we were discussing bait cards. If anything is a bait card, this one is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled by it. I think this is also like a deceiving card. People will look at it and say, oh, wow, +1 attack. And the Shade of Naxxramas is, you know, has stealth and gains +1/+1 after every turn. It's like a poor man's shade, but I just don't like it. Like if I had a mech deck, I probably wouldn't play one of these cards.
I don't know. Depends on what you've got with it. Again, if you're going to put out some of the cards that give you +2 to your health, that would help build it up. Because I think the priest card is a 1 casting cost for a +2, I believe. I could be wrong. I've been known to be wrong. Go ahead and flame me for it because I am a casual player.
Disclaimer.
I do not have all the cards memorized. But there is that card that gives you a +2 on health that if you throw that on there, start pumping him up a little bit, he could become a little power heathen. Knickknack, next.
All right, so we have the Piloted Shredder. It's a 4-mana, 4/3 mech death rattle. Summon a random 2-cost minion. What do you guys think?
That's interesting, because it doesn't say it's got to be limited to this new expansion either.
Yeah,
anything.
I think from a fun point of view, if you're making a deck just to have fun, random elements are cool. You like to say, okay, what can happen this time? And I think I would try it out just to see what happens.
But look at its stats. It's not bad. A 4 casting cost for a 4/3. That's not too shabby.
Yeah, but a lot of things kill a 3 toughness. You know, lightning bolts and lightning storms and frost bolts and the multi-shot. A lot of things take out 3s. But it's that death rattle that could be pretty cool. Because it's not one from your hand and it's not one from your deck. It's a total random, meaning, you know, it works like the web spinner. You know, it could be anything that you've never even had.
Right. I like this card a real lot. Maybe not.
There's even a legendary with 2 casting costs, right?
There is.
What Mace Thalnos? That's right.
So you could get a legendary.
Yeah, I would use this card. Like if I saw this card in Arena, I would absolutely take it. I just love the fact of its death rattle, and like you said, Autumn's Bane, it's kind of like the web spinner, a little bit of that same family tree.
And it's, again, it's a 4/3 creature. I'm sorry, all I was saying, 3 creatures sometimes are hard to kill if you don't have the right cards. If The twos and the ones are easy to pop off, but the threes sometimes give you a little bit of a challenge. My next card is the boringest card that I think is in this expansion. The spider tank doesn't do anything. It's just a 3 casting cost, 3/4 card. Next!
I kind of like that card. It's a solid card. It's like the Dark Cultist, like a 3/4. I mean, for 3 mana, that's very good stats. That's kind of like the Chillwin Yeti. You know, it's like a baby Yeti. And it's on turn 3, if you see this card, it's like, all right, sticking around for 2 turns, probably.
Well, you know my feeling on this card before I even say anything.
Because it's got a spider?
No. I just tend not to use minions that have no ability.
I've used the Chillwin Yeti.
I use Chillwin Yeti in Arena, but I don't have a single constructed deck with a Chillwin Yeti in it. There's just something about the not being able to give me that extra oomph that I don't like. I know it's short-sighted of me, it's narrow thinking, but I just want my minions to double his spells, and he doesn't. I want it to be able to silence something or buff somebody or give, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. saying?
I know what you mean, and it's plain Jane. I understand what you're saying, but the stats are just, they're really good, but there's nothing else to it besides that.
You can get so much more for your 3 casting cost. You can really, I think there are other cards that are out there that are just so much better for 3 casting costs that do things.
This will be a great card for Arena. Like, if you're doing Arenas and you see this card, you take it. You look at your 3 drops, see how you're doing, but you should really consider taking this card in Arena. Constructed, it's a mech, but Constructed is another story.
Yeah, like I said, I take the Yetis in Arena, so I would take this card in Arena, yes, but I wouldn't put it into my deck.
No, probably not.
Unless I was making, like, an all-mech deck type of thing. But what I think they need to do is, and Magic the Gathering did this, in Magic they called these clan decks, tribal decks, where it was all elves or all goblins or whatever, and a lot of those decks were hard to defeat, but there were cards put into the game that would, you know, destroy all goblins, or destroy all elves, or give all elves -1, whatever. There's nothing like that in this game. And I think if the mechs become, you know, like that's all we ever see, you know, forget about seeing an elf or a murloc ever again, they might have to put in some kind of, you know, choose a card type and give it that they cost 2 more or something to cast. If they're going to keep doing this thing where they have a particular type of minion type, and that minion type starts to dominate the game, I think they need to put in a card or two that will make players less likely to want to front load their decks with only one type of minion. Am I making sense?
Yes. Yep, you are. So if that were to happen, I think people would be very upset about it, but
well, not right away. Maybe the expansion after this, they put something in to kind of neuter this one. Not completely, not cripple it.
But just hack off a limb.
I mean, you know, just like what they do to hunters.
Then you want to talk about the next card?
Okay, don't let me forget to talk about the hunter nerf here.
I won't.
Okay.
I won't.
So
it's not really
a
hunter nerf, but we will talk about. You're doing the Tinkertown
Technician. Tinkertown Technician. Say that
like
3
a song.
Times fast.
Tinkertown Technician, Tinkertown Technician, Tinkertown Technician.
Well, we're in Tinkertown here. 3/3/3, half a demon. 3 casting costs, 3 attack, 3 health.
Half a demon.
Battle cry. If you control a mech, gain +1/+1 and put a spare part into your hand.
I love it.
I like that card.
Yeah, I like it too.
Oh my god, it's awesome.
Again,
3 casting costs,
you need to have
so many
mechs,
fun things.
But there's no way, yes, I would ever make a deck with, you know, 4 or 5 mechs and not have this be one of them.
Yeah, you need Mech Warper, Tinkertown Technician. Like that right there, turn 2 Mech Warper, and then turn 3 Tinkertown Technician, and maybe like, I don't know, another 1 mana mech,
Cogmaster.
And you're golden.
Yeah, now keep in mind,
Throw in your Cogmaster.
The battle cry gives you two things, but you have to meet the condition to get both. It's like both or nothing. You either get a plus one and a spare part, or you get nothing. But still, a 3-3 for three is not too terrible.
And no, chances are, if you've got this in your desk, it's really going to be a 4-4 when it comes out.
Right. And a 4-4 for three is really nice.
Which is great, yeah. And plus, you get a spare part, too.
Yep.
Yep.
Which means, you know, for four mana, you know, if you cast this on a turn four and you've got a mech out already, then you can give it something else. You can stealth it. You can,
you can taunt it.
You could give it a divine shield, whatever.
It could suddenly be a 4-4 with taunt for three mana.
Oh, no. Let's keep in mind, all that he is not himself a tech. Just wanted to bring that up. He's a gnome, but it doesn't say gnome. See, that's another thing they should have done. They've got all these mech types. They should have goblin and gnome.
And they should gnome
at the bottom as a creature type.
I agree. Do you think that'll be coming in maybe some upcoming expansions?
Nope. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I think they just didn't do it.
Because there's lots of goblins and gnomes in the game already. They'd have to go back and retool those as well.
Right. Why don't we do have this one be the last one we'll talk about this week, Micmac, the Bomb Lobber?
Oh, finally a goblin. So
it took a while to get to it.
It did, yeah. We have a 5-mana 3-3 Bomb Lobber. Battlecry, deal 4 damage to a random enemy minion. Let's talk about this.
Nice. Hello?
I kind of think it's like a lesser Stampeding Kodo. The Kodo's a 5-mana 3-5, which when you his battle cry is to destroy a minion with 2 attack or less. So, I don't know. This could be a good like turn 5 drop, because like you're almost surely going to kill something. So, I don't know. We'll see, but it's just 3-3, which is kind of, you know, turning me off from it.
I don't like it.
No? Well, it's a big casting cost, but...
It's a big casting cost, and you could kill your own dude. So if you've maybe...
No.
Maybe
it's a random enemy minion.
Enemy minion.
I know. Oh, okay.
See?
All right. So it's not just random. So it's... It's only good if your opponent actually has minions on the table, which means it's a time.
You might hold it
it's
in
a
your
timing
hand for
thing.
A while.
So it might be one of those many cards that I've put in my deck that I hold it for a situation, and the situation never comes up, and the game is over before I ever cast it.
And so I will probably play this to see the graphic.
To pay 5 to get a 3-3 is not all that great. I mean, doing the 4 damage is great, but... There may be times when, I don't know. I guess there's almost always going to be a minion on the other side. So the potential is there to be great. Just, it's got that little, but what if it's not, in the back of my head that makes me reluctant to put it in my deck.
Now, do you guys like this card more or the Stampeding Kodo more?
I'm not a big fan of the Kodo either.
See, I like the Kodo like a lot. I love the Kodo. This minion is awesome in the arena on turn 5 when they have, you know, a River Crocolis on the table or something with 4 health, and you play this guy and he just decimates it. That's value right there. But, I mean, you don't know where the 4 damage is going to go, and he's just a 3-3, so at least the Kodo's a 3-5.
Okay, if people want to play this card, there are the strategy is the following, and I'm not... This isn't my brain doing this. I actually found this strategy. Bomb Lobber is a weak minion with a powerful battle cry. Downside of his battle cry is target is chosen at random from all enemy minions on the board. So one way to counter the Bomb Lobber's unpredictability is to play him when faced with only one enemy minion, guaranteeing
right.
that that's the minion that will suffer the damage. Otherwise, try to use him when any of the available minions would be an effective target for his damage. Bomb Lobber is the least valuable against weak minions or when true high-value targets are hidden among other several lesser-valued minions. His basic stats are very poor for his cost, makes the battle cry the main consideration when playing him. It makes him a great target for Recombobulator, which allows you to swap a plain 3-3 minion for a random 5 minion which would be a tossing a cost in there, but we'll talk about the recombobulator next week.
Yeah, we've all been in a situation where you get Ragnaros out, and then the guy plays like five weenies, and like you want it to hit the big minion, or you want it to hit the hero, but instead it's popping all these 1/1 weenies off, and the same situation could show up for that. But I just want to say this, since McMack mentioned the Stampeding Kodo three times, for people who may not know what that is, it's a 5 casting cost, 3/5. The battle cry is destroy a random enemy with 2 or less attack. So that's more situational.
But it's also
doing
more...
4 damage is probably never a bad thing, whereas the Kodo has a very specific target.
But the Kodo has more life.
Right, it does. But
he's got more health. He's going to be harder to kill. So you'll be able to play him longer. Yeah, he's got longer...
But if there are no 2 or less attack minions on the table, then he doesn't do anything, whereas that 4
correct.
Damage is going to do 4 damage to any minion.
So yeah, again, a situational card. So one thing I did forget to mention, or I may have mentioned it when we didn't come back to it, with the release of Spectator and the third of the cards being mechs, and this is all coming out in December, they also said they may be releasing a card that can contain... that specifically is used to counter secrets. And Honestbane has a lot to say about that.
Can you say stealthy hunter nerf?
Meaning they snuck it in there and they're not calling it a hunter nerf, but it translates to a hunter nerf anyway?
It does. McMack, do you know why I'm calling it a hunter nerf?
Because it's another card that's just going to chip away at the hunter.
No, it's a flare in disguise.
Right now, the only hero in the game that could take out a secret is the flare. That's the hunter. So that's something special for the hunters that's now not going to be so special.
Well, wait, they didn't say it might be a class specific. For all you know, it could be a hunter card. Because we don't know what the card is, so don't jump on your hunter horseback yet.
I think if they put another secret affecting, card, something that hurts the secrets, I think it's going to be a new... Well, now there you go. If it's a spell, then it has to be a class card. Because think about it. There are no neutral spells in this game.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So let's see before you start, ranting.
I didn't rant. I said at this point, I'm just resigned to them nerfing hunters. I don't even get angry about it anymore. I'm like, okay, there's another one.
Yes, but
stick another pin in the voodoo doll.
Maybe we'll hear you cheer, and maybe it'll be another hunter type thing. I know it's not very likely, but
it's unnecessary for the hunter. I can only see them adding something that they feel is necessary. And this, if you're going to give the hunter some love, this is not the way to do it.
All right. Autumnsbane, you had one more thing we wanted to talk about before we wrap up for the evening, because we're going actually over a little bit. Stitcher.
Yeah. On a whim, I just checked our Stitcher. And the last time I mentioned Stitcher at our one-year roundup, I think we only had 3 Stitcher reviews. Maybe only 2. I looked today, and there's 5. So there was Toddy the Murloc 3 months ago. I'm sure I mentioned him, because I remember Toddy the Murloc.
I love the name.
But now,
yeah, me too.
We got 2 5-stars. One from Tino1918. Gee, it would be cool if Tino was born in 1918. It would be our oldest listener. And it's the first review that actually mentions Micmac. So,
yay!
And because, I'm going to read it, and there's a couple of reasons I'm reading it. I don't usually read it. It says, love the show, 21 days ago. Hi, congratulations on a year of shows. It's our only official congratulations on a year, and, review. Anyway, congratulations on a year of shows. This group is dedicated to the show and provide a good mix of news and conversation. Loved all the shows leading up to the release of the game and the fun game stories. I think the newest member of the show, Micmac Attack, has been adding the right amount of strategy discussion to the show. So thank you, Tino. You just validated us accepting Micmac onto the show.
Yay! Thank you, Tino.
And the other one, and I'm not going to read it, Doc Shari, who gave us 5 stars on iTunes, gave us 5 stars on Stitcher too. I think that's the first person to ever give us a double whammy.
We like that type of a double whammy.
Yes, we do.
So you can find... Oops, before I do this.
Oh, Doc Shari also contacted us recently on Facebook, wanted to know if he had just beaten our Xander. And if you're listening, and I think you are, I don't think it was our Xander. Our Xander is... That's not his title in Hearthstone.
It's Xander Hayes, I believe, in Hearthstone.
Well, actually, we should be able to see it right on the live stream, right?
No, they're too busy chatting on the live stream to each other, so you can't really see it.
Oh, no, you can't see his name. It's not showing.
It's blocked. Until he hits its confirming, we won't be able to see. So, well, it is Xander Hayes. Okay,
yep.
So
it wasn't our Xander you beat.
But it might have been the same Xander that I came across a couple of weeks ago and was wondering the same thing until I realized, because I did play as Xander, Zander, as well. And
this
was
an
like,
X, I think he said.
X. I said Z, and I was even looking at an X. All right, so Nick-Mac, anything further, hon?
Anyway, thank you for the 5 stars.
Yes, thank you.
Those of you who haven't given us any, it's your turn.
No.
Force feeding.
Nick-Mac, anything further before I do our lore, you know, the normal stuff?
No. I mean, I just had a great time playing a lot of WoW this week, but
We have to announce that Warlords of Draenor has come out.
And it's kicking ass.
It's the WoW expansion, and for those of you who left because you thought stupid Chinese pandas was not the way to play WoW, it's back to its roots. If you liked Warcraft 1, 2, or 3, if you liked vanilla WoW, now is the time to come back. This is rockin'. It took them 3 days to get the server stabilized because of DDoS attacks and more people playing than they ever expected, with queues of like 1,600 people. But yeah, Draenor, that's why we did Prophet Velen at the top of the show, because Velen is actually in it like you've never seen him before. So if you're thinking about coming back for the expansion, big thumbs up from all of us here at A Worthy Opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, so you can find us at Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can find us on Twitch TV at Holosuite Media, awohearthstone@gmail.com. If you want to speak to us, email us, chat with us through emails, etc., we will respond to you. iTunes, you can find us on Facebook at awohearthstone, Stitcher Satellite Radio. You can Google Plus us at A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks to Holosuite Media, as usual, for sponsoring us. And once again, we want to thank Awesome City Limits for their wonderful theme music that is now our theme. Thank you guys for winning BlizzCon and letting us hear you in the first place. I am Blacklace. With me is Autumn's Bane and Mic-Mac, and we wish you all happy hearthing.
The end
happy
is coming.
Hearthing.
Winter is coming. It snowed this morning.
It did snow. And sleet. It was yucky.
It was disgusting.
Thankfully not down here. I'm still avoiding it.
I didn't really have to go out in it except to walk the dog.
I had to go out.
I'm just safe here in my garrison.
Of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.